Hello, everyone, and welcome to Leap of Faith Podcast. I'm Lorraine, I'm your host, and today we are in episode 122.3, and we will be reading in 2 Kings chapter 18. So welcome yet again to another day of reading God's Word. Always blessed to be able to lead this Bible study, and it's simple. It's a simple little strategy that we have. It's literally one chapter a day, 5 days a week. It's really not hard. We're going to go ahead and do chapter 18. I may roll in and do chapter 19 as well. It is a little bit long, so I'm not going to delay. I'm going to go ahead and pray, give your Bible verse, and then we'll go ahead and read. So for anybody out there who's new, welcome. If you're a longtime listener, thanks for hanging in there. As always, we say it is a marathon. This is not a sprint. And so we just keep plugging through. I don't know if I mentioned this, but my friend Sharon and I were just noticing that we are at least two-thirds of the way through the whole Bible, and we're on the latter end of the Old Testament, so it's amazing, and I get to do it twice, or as many times as I want. I'll just keep doing it until whenever. Anyway, all right, let's go ahead and pray, and then I will go ahead and Bible verse and read our chapters. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for all that you do, all that you provide. We are grateful for the many, many, many blessings that you put on us. We thank you. We are always praising you. We praise you in the good times. We praise you in the bad times because we know that you use it all to the good of those who believe in you and love you. And so, Lord, I thank you for all of your provisions, from the tiniest little things to the big things. And so I consider myself very blessed in this world. So, Lord, we just want to say thank you. We also are very grateful and thankful for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. His sacrifice, Lord, his blood that he spilled, Lord, his life that he gave up for us. We didn't do anything for it. He just freely gave his life for us. And then he came back like he said he would. He rose from the dead. That's the miracle of it all, that he did exactly what he said he was going to do. So thank you, Lord, and thank you for the gift of eternal life. Lord, I ask for blessings over those who are out there listening, watching. I don't know what their needs are, but you sure do, and you are taking care of business as always, and so thank you for being that beacon of light, and we know that it's always in your time, so it might not be immediate blessings. It might be a little delayed. I don't know, but I just pray for whatever the needs of those who are out there. I pray that you are providing whatever it is that it is that they need. Lord, we invite you into this time in your word. We feel like your word is precious. It is a gift, and it is essential for life and for living. So thank you for providing this for us. And we pray that you bless this time in your word. Reveal to us what you want us to learn. We're reading about, I think, Hezekiah and the many kings that were sent and all the things that was going on with the Israelites. Lord, we're thanking you for this history, this holy history of your people. So thank you. Lord, take us where you want us to go. Let us meet the people you want us to meet. Let us say the words you want us to say, and keep us out of your way. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So today's verse of the day comes from Proverbs, and it says, "Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails," which is what I was praying about. You know, we have our own ideas, we have our own thoughts, we make a plan, and we think we're on that plan. But if you don't consult with God before you dive in and start doing that plan, you might find that he's going to switch things up on you. Or maybe you are on target, maybe you are praying about it, and maybe you are on target doing exactly what God wants you to do. Always, always pray that whatever it is, we do it in the Lord's will. We do it because the Lord's purpose prevails. So that, I think that's an awesome verse. And that'll be posted to Facebook and Instagram. All right, well, let's go ahead and dive in and start reading about Hezekiah and his rule over Israel. Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, began to rule over Judah in the third year of King Hoshea's reign in Israel. Oh, so Hezekiah, I'm sorry, he's over Judah, and Hoshea is over Israel. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. He did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, just as his ancestor David had done. He removed the pagan shrines, smashed the sacred pillars, and cut down the Asherah poles. He broke up the bronze serpent that Moses had made, because the people of Israel had been offering sacrifices to it. The bronze serpent was called Nehushtan. It's got an asterisk next to it. What would that be? Nehushtan sounds like the Hebrew term that means snake, bronze, and unclean thing. Interesting. I like to hear stuff like that. All right. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before or after his time. He remained faithful to the Lord in everything, and he carefully obeyed all the commands the Lord had given Moses. So the Lord was with him, and Hezekiah was successful in everything he did. He revolted against the king of Assyria and refused to pay him tribute. He also conquered the Philistines as far distant as Gaza and its territory, from their smallest outpost to their largest walled city. During the fourth year of Hezekiah's reign, which was the seventh year of King Hoshea's reign in Israel, King Shalmaneser of Assyria attacked the city of Samaria and began a siege against it. 3 years later, during the sixth year of King Hezekiah's reign and the ninth year of King Hoshea's reign in Israel, Samaria fell. At that time, the king of Assyria exiled the Israelites to Assyria and placed them in colonies in Hala along the banks of the Habor River in Gozan and in the cities of the Medes, for they refused to listen to the Lord their God and obey him. Instead, they violated his covenant, all the laws that Moses, the Lord's servant, had commanded them to obey. Assyria invades Judah. In the 14th year of King Hezekiah's reign, King Sennacherib of Assyria came to attack the fortified towns of Judah and conquered them. King Hezekiah sent this message to the king of Assyria at Lachish: "I have done wrong. I will pay whatever tribute money you demand if you will only withdraw." The king of Assyria then demanded a settlement of more than 11 tons of silver and 1 ton of gold. To gather this amount, King Hezekiah used all the silver stored in the temple of the Lord and in the palace treasury. Hezekiah even stripped the gold from the doors of the Lord's temple and from the doorposts he had overlaid with gold, and he gave it all to the Assyrian king. Nevertheless, the king of Assyria sent his commander-in-chief, his field commander, and his chief of staff from Lachish, with a huge army to confront King Hezekiah in Jerusalem. The Assyrians took up position beside the aqueduct that feeds water into the upper pool near the road leading to the field where cloth is washed. I'm sorry. They summoned King Hezekiah, but the king sent these officials to meet with them: Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, the palace administrator, Shebna, the court secretary, and Joah, son of Asaph, the royal historian. Sennacherib threatens Jerusalem. Then the Assyrian king's chief of staff told them to give this message to Hezekiah. This is what the great king of Assyria says: "What are you trusting in that makes you so confident? Do you think that mere words can substitute for military skill and strength? Who are you counting on that you have rebelled against me? On Egypt? If you lean on Egypt, it will be like a reed that splinters beneath your weight and pierces your hand. Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, is completely unreliable. But perhaps you will say to me, 'We are trusting in the Lord our God.' But isn't he the one who was insulted by Hezekiah? Didn't Hezekiah tear down his shrines and altars and make everyone in Judah and Jerusalem worship only at the altar here in Jerusalem? I'll tell you what, strike a bargain with my master, the king of Assyria. I will give you 2,000 horses if you can find that many men to ride on them. With your tiny army, how can you think of challenging even the weakest contingent of my master's troops, even with the help of Egypt's chariots and charioteers? What's more, do you think we have invaded your land without the Lord's direction? The Lord himself told us, attack this land and destroy it. Then Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, Shebna, and Joah said to the Assyrian chief of staff, please speak to us in Aramaic, for we understand it well. Don't speak in Hebrew, for the people on the wall will hear. But Sennacherib's chief of staff replied, do you think my master sent this message only to send only to you and your master? He wants all the people to hear it. For when we put this city under siege, they will suffer along with you. They will be so hungry and thirsty that they will eat their own dung and drink their own urine. Then the chief of staff stood and shouted in Hebrew to the people on the wall, listen to this message from the great king of Assyria. This is what the king says. Don't let Hezekiah deceive you. He will never be able to rescue you from my power. Don't let him fool you into trusting in the Lord by saying, the Lord will surely rescue us. The city will never fall into the hands of the Assyrian king. Don't listen to Hezekiah. These are the terms the king of Assyria is offering. Make peace with me, open the gates, and come out. Then each of you can continue eating from your own grapevine and fig tree and drinking from your own well. Then I will arrange to take you to another land like this one, a land of grain and new wine, bread and vineyards, olive groves and honey. Choose life instead of death. Don't listen to Hezekiah when he tries to mislead you by saying, the Lord will rescue us. Have the gods of any other nation ever saved the people from the king of Assyria? What happened to the gods of Hamath and Arpad? And what about the gods of Sepharvaim, Hena and Iva? Did any god rescue Samaria from my power? What god of any nation has ever been able to save its people from my power? So what makes you think that the Lord can rescue Jerusalem from me? But the people were silent and did not utter a word because Hezekiah had commanded them, do not answer him. Then Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, the palace administrator, Shebna, the court secretary, and Joah, son of Asaph, the royal historian, went back to Hezekiah. They tore their clothes in despair and they went to see the king and told him what the Assyrian chief of staff had said. All right, chapter 19. I'm going to keep going. 122.4. Hezekiah seeks the Lord's help. When King Hezekiah heard their report, he tore his clothes and put on burlap and went into the temple of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, the palace administrator, Shebna, the court secretary, and the leading priests, all dressed in burlap, to the prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz. They told him, this is what King Hezekiah says. Today is a day of trouble, insults, and disgrace. It is when a child is ready to be born, but the mother has no strength to deliver the baby. But perhaps the Lord your God has heard the Assyrian chief of staff sent by the king to defy the living God and will punish him for his words. Oh, pray for those of us who are left. After King Hezekiah's officials delivered the king's message to Isaiah, the prophet replied, say to your master, this is what the Lord says. Do not be disturbed by this blasphemous speech against me from the Assyrian king's messengers. Listen, I myself will move against him, and the king will receive a message that he is needed at home. So he will return to his land where I will have him killed with a sword. Meanwhile, the Assyrian chief of staff left Jerusalem and went to consult the king of Assyria, who had left Lachish, and was attacking Libna. Soon after, King Sennacherib received word that King Tirhaka of Ethiopia was leading an army to fight against him. Before leaving to meet the attack, he sent messengers back to Hezekiah in Jerusalem with this message. This message is for King Hezekiah of Judah. Don't let your God, in whom you trust, deceive you with promises that Jerusalem will not be captured by the king of Assyria. You know perfectly well that the kings of Assyria have done what the kings of Assyria have done wherever they have gone. They have completely destroyed everyone who stood in their way. Why should you be any different? Have the gods of the other nations rescued them? Such nations as Gozan, Haran, Rezeph, and the people of Eden who were in Telassar? My predecessors destroyed them all. What happened to the king of Hamath and the king of Arpad? What happened to the kings of Sepharvaim, Hena, and Iva? After Hezekiah received the letter from the messengers and read it, he went up to the Lord's temple and spread it out before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed this prayer before the Lord. O Lord God of Israel, you are enthroned between the mighty cherubim. You alone are God of the kingdoms of the earth. You alone created the heavens and the earth. Bend down, O Lord, and listen. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. Listen to Sennacherib's words of defiance against the living God. It is true, Lord, that the kings of Assyria have destroyed all these nations, and they have thrown the gods of these nations into the fire and burned them. But of course, the Assyrians can destroy them. They were not gods at all, only idols of wood and stone shaped by human hands. Now, O Lord, our God, rescue us from his power. Then all the kingdoms of the earth will know that you alone, O Lord, our God. Isaiah predicts Judah's deliverance. Then Isaiah, son of Amoz, sent this message to Hezekiah. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I have heard your prayer about King Sennacherib of Assyria, and the Lord has spoken this word against him. The virgin daughter of Zion despises you and laughs at you. The daughter of Jerusalem shakes her head in derision as you flee. Whom have you been defying and ridiculing? Against whom did you raise your voice? At whom did you look with such haughty eyes? It was the Holy One of Israel. By your messengers you have defied the Lord. You have said, with my many chariots I have conquered the highest mountains. Yes, the remotest peaks of Lebanon. I have cut down its tallest cedars and its finest cypress trees. I have reached its farthest corners and explored its deepest forests. I have dug wells in many foreign lands and refreshed myself with their water. With the sole of my foot, I stopped up all the rivers of Egypt. But have you not heard? I decided this long ago. Long ago I planned it, and now I am making it happen. I planned for you to crush fortified cities into heaps of rubble. That is why their people have so little power and are so afraid, are so frightened and confused. They are as weak as grass, as easily trampled as tender green shoots. They are like grass sprouting on housetop, scorched before it can grow lush and tall. But I know you well, where you stay and when you come and go. I know the way you have raged against me. And because of your raging against me and your arrogance, which I have heard for myself, I will put my hook in your nose and my bit in your mouth. I will make you return by the same road on which you came. Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, here is the proof that what I say is true. This year you will eat only what grows up by itself, and next year you will eat what springs up from that. But in the third year you will plant crops and harvest them. You will tend vineyards and eat their fruit. And you who are left in Judah, who have escaped the ravages of the siege, will put roots down in your own soil and will grow up and flourish. For a remnant of my people will spread out from Jerusalem, a group of survivors from Mount Zion. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. And this is what the Lord says about the king of Assyria. His armies will not enter Jerusalem. They will not even shoot an arrow at it. They will not march outside gates with their shields, nor build banks of earth against its walls. the king will return to his own country by the same road on which he came. He will not enter the city, says the Lord, for my own honor and for the sake of my servant David. I will defend the city and protect it. That night, the angel of the Lord went out to the Assyrian camp and killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. When the surviving Assyrians woke up the next morning, they found corpses everywhere. Then King Sennacherib of Assyria broke camp and returned to his own land. He went home to his capital of Nineveh and stayed there. One day, while he was worshiping in the temple of his god Nisroch, his sons Adrammelech and Sharezer killed him with their swords. Then they escaped to the land of Ararat, and another son, Esarhaddon, became the next king of Assyria. All right. Interesting. So that king got killed. That's what you get for going up against God, right? I find it interesting that this whole, when Isaiah says, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel says, and he starts this whole, like, soliloquy. I'm like, he's basically saying, you know, in verse 25, he's like, this is what I planned like years ago. I've had this plan for a long time. This is like nothing surprising to me, which I find interesting because our Bible verse basically says, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. It's his plans. It's his whole, you know, he's got it all mapped out for us. You know, we just merely have to follow the instructions that are given in this book. I find this all very, very intriguing, and I can't wait to read more about Hezekiah tomorrow. It'll be interesting. So that's it for today. But as always, I will not finish out this reading without giving anybody out there the opportunity to receive Christ into their hearts. If you have not made Jesus Lord of your life, then say this prayer, bring him into your heart, and start living your life for Jesus. If you found this podcast, it's not an accident, because every day I say this prayer in the hopes that there are people getting saved out there. So I'm going to say the prayer, and I hope that you say it with me. Heavenly Father, today I put my trust in you. I am not perfect, but know that I have sinned against you. Please forgive me. I thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. It's his perfect and spotless blood that covers all of my sins, past, present, and future. On this day, I accept him as my Lord and Savior into my heart and will live my life for him. Thank you for my salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said this prayer for the first time, congratulations and welcome into the adopted family of Jesus Christ. You're now a brother or sister in Christ because God handpicked you to be here at this moment. I don't know how it works, but I find it intriguing that this is what God does. It's all in his timing, and this is the time for you. We always would love to hear from you. If you did receive Christ, you can reach us through email, lorraine@leapoffaithpodcast.org or jeremiah@leapoffaithpodcast.org. You can message us on Facebook or Instagram. However you can get a hold of us, we would love to hear from you. We also encourage you to get involved with your church, find a church, ask questions. If you got questions, get to a pastor and they'll be happy to answer whatever questions you may have. And start doing whatever God has for you to do. He's given you gifts and talents, and you need to use them to further the kingdom. There's ministries, there's volunteer work, missions work, Bible studies, tons of things you can be doing in the name of Jesus. So that's it for today. I don't know what time of day it is. I don't know what day it is for you. I don't even know what year it is for you. But I'm glad that you were able to make it and read about the rich history of the Israelites. So that's it for today. God bless you. Have a great day, and I will see you tomorrow.